What's up, everybody? This week on Inside the Pocket, we're going to be going over our week in review and a little bit of things that have happened since we last talked. We're going to be going over the NFL Week 1 kickoff between the Eagles and the Falcons from last Thursday, as well as go over some of the games that we've seen so far this Sunday. We got some NCAA football updates, as well as our wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president, some conspiracy theories, some shower talks, and some debatables. As always, we got a beer review for you guys, so let's go.
Inside the Pocket, it's Austin with me as always, Gavin.
What's up, guys?
God damn. This week is such an exciting week.
Football is officially back.
It's here. You don't have to wait anymore.
Yeah, we've been saying it. We've been watching some preseason. We've been playing some Madden, but it's back. It's been back since Thursday. I wasn't too happy Thursday as the Falcons played a very sloppy game against the Eagles, but we got some shit to talk about before we get into my sad emotions brought up by the football world. Other than that, though, I'm happy to be sad by football.
Yeah, and I'm also...
If anything's going to make me upset, I'd hope it'd be football.
If you looked at our picks, we were both wrong.
On a couple, but we've been right on some.
Yeah.
And we'll go over some of the ones that we got correct later on. Still got some games going on right now. Might touch on those if one of us happens to check our little fantasy football tracker later on. But we will also be posting updates on our social medias throughout the week as those go up. We want to get into some videos and some other stuff.
Yeah,
and
eventually we're looking into getting into some more visual content.
One thing we were talking about doing is basically I'm going to set up a little overlay like I would for my Twitch stream. And it's going to be us watching YouTube videos, preferably like top 10 things.
Like creepiest shit that you've ever seen with your eyes.
And then we can watch some other things. And basically there would be a little webcam of us reacting to it. So you can see the video that we're watching and also see our reactions to it.
Can you post things from like Live Link on Twitch, or will they not let things like that go on there?
It wouldn't be on Twitch. We wouldn't post any of it on Twitch. We would just take those videos and then post it to YouTube. But if it's too fucked up, YouTube wouldn't let us have it on there.
Right. Okay.
But we can maybe make the video and then post it to our Facebook. I don't know. Then we might get our Facebook page banned. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll get into the logistics about all
that. We'll check some of that shit out. We could definitely post them on the website, though.
Yes. Yeah, so that's our shit.
We got the website. We haven't actually invested a whole lot of money into the website yet because we've invested into mics and some other shit. But eventually we'll get like a real domain name. But the link to the website is on our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. So if you want to check it out, we got blogs going up occasionally, mostly written by me until Austin feels like he actually wants to do some of them.
Wow.
But yeah, one thing I wanted to throw out at the beginning of this, I was listening to some of our old podcasts just because I had some time to kill and some of the other podcasts that we listen to. And I wanted to make sure people realize for future reference, we're not fact guys.
No, we're not here to tell you nothing but the truth and only the truth. We didn't swear on any Bibles.
We try to spit the truth most of the time, but a lot of times we're opinion guys. So don't take anything we say to court with you.
Yeah, we're opinion prediction guys.
Yeah.
We're guesstimating our factual.
We're very
content.
Convicted in what we say. So a lot of times the thing we say sound like facts. I would say 98% of the time the things we say are facts, but those 2% of the times you might want to watch yourself.
We're still going to hold ourselves that we are telling absolutely the truth, but as soon as it doesn't happen, we go, oh, well, guess we were wrong.
You should have listened to the disclaimer in episode 16. Shout out to Pat McAfee and the Heartland crew for going out on their own and doing their own thing. Anybody that listens to the Barstool podcasts or interested in a lot of that stuff, there was some business discrepancies between Pat and the New York office. Not a lot of animosity, which is good because we still love the Barstool guys.
It seemed like a pretty like mutual thing. I mean, they obviously wanted Pat to stay. For anyone who does listen to Barstool after listening to Dave and Erica talk about it, they definitely wanted Pat to stay. But Pat being who he is, he's more of a vindictive guy, just like the reason he left the Indianapolis Colts. He was getting tired of certain types of management, not necessarily the team, and same with Barstool. He doesn't necessarily dislike Barstool. He was just having some business issues that he did not get resolved the way he wanted resolved.
At the end of the day, it's not even really that he doesn't like to be told what to do, But if he doesn't agree with it, he's just going to say, fuck this, and he's going to go do his own thing.
Right.
Which is respectable. And so we hope Barstool still does some amazing things. I know Vibs and Sean Latham are going to the New York office, so I'm super excited to still see them. But Todd, Diggs, all the other guys that went with
Pat. Nick Moraldo, Evan Foxy.
All those guys.
Yeah, all
if you didn't
guys.
Say your name, you probably don't listen to this podcast anyway, so don't be offended. Shout out to Nick Moraldo, though, to responding to me on Twitter the other day. That was kind of cool.
And I'm really sad to see Jordan Berry's just gone.
Yep, but we wish the best for her, too. The sister that we will never have. So maybe one day Pat can hire us now that, I mean, I always felt like being from the Midwest a little bit, we related a little more with those guys.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see where everything goes.
Maybe we should drive up there. Maybe we should go up and see their
and just
stuff.
Just be like, hey.
I'll buy tickets to a game. We can go up there and we'll just go knock on their place and be like, hey, we didn't buy a hotel. Can we just like sleep on your floor?
And I'm sure they'll tell us to get the fuck out of there and we'll be like, totally cool.
Check totally get podcast. It. Understandable.
Did you have anything from your week that you wanted to touch on or you want me to just keep it moving?
Just keep her on moving. My all week's right. been pretty mellow. Really, the days I'm excited to talk about because fuck every other day except for days there's football. And that's Thursday night and Sunday night. And I know we already got stuff to talk about into that. So like the rest of the days of my week are just a blur.
Gotcha. One thing I wanted to touch on the other day, it was just like a dumb little story, but we were sitting in the living room. And Nicole came up and she was like, yeah, you know that Johnny Cash movie where the guy, Joaquin Phoenix plays him? And I was like, excuse me?
Joaquin?
She's like, Joaquin Phoenix. And I was like, she's like, I'm saying this wrong, aren't I? I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be Joaquin Phoenix, but I'd be very interested to see what Joaquin Phoenix looked like.
I kind of want to see a walking Phoenix.
A walking Phoenix?
Yeah. Not Joaquin Phoenix. I want to see a Phoenix. That is walking.
I want to see Christopher Walken
a phoenix.
Reanimated into a phoenix.
No, I want to see Christopher Walken with a phoenix on a leash.
I want to make a meme of Christopher Walken walking Joaquin Phoenix on all fours, and you could say Christopher Joaquin Phoenix.
Holy shit. That's
next.
A good one, actually.
On here, I worked Saturday. So yesterday for us, this might be a couple days ago for you guys listening, but I worked at some school and there was a janitor there and he brought in some donuts. And me and the guy that were working, we're like, oh, we appreciate that. We'll be sure and get some around break time. The guy reminded
you
us.
You fat fucks.
I know. The guy reminded us about the donuts about 27 times in 2 hours. And then we took our lunch boxes and we went to the other stairwell where we got service on our phones to sit down. He's like, hey, guys, come with me. And so we got up and he walked us over to the donuts.
You got an escort to donuts.
Yeah, he like made us walk to the donuts and was like, I bought these for you guys. I want you to have some. And we were like, oh, okay, thanks, man. So we took a couple
donuts.
What
kind of donuts were they? Were they even
Dunkin'
good?
Donuts.
Oh,
it was a good, yeah, pretty good donuts. And we're like, okay, thanks. And then we like went back. I was like, dude, the guy kind of like, I wonder if these are poisoned or something. Because the guy
maybe
like
thought you were
making...
disrespecting him. He's like, I bought these for you.
And I think it was just, he was a really old guy. And I think he just kind of wanted some friends. But it also made me feel like the pastries were forced upon me. And while I enjoy some pastries, I just wanted to get my Me Too story out there because I feel like pastry rape is a serious thing. And some of us are trying to lose weight and stop being fat pieces of shit. Well, I got old man Jenkins over here who's just looking for a friend.
He's just trying to get you stuffed with some cream filled donuts.
Yeah, he's stuffing cream down my gullet. And just because you like it doesn't mean you want it. So I just wanted to bring awareness to this situation.
No, and that's a serious thing. I'm all for sweets, but sometimes when I get too many sweets, it's just too much. I'm not, sweetie, I don't need that much sweets.
Yeah, and so I felt a little violated. They were delicious, but my body betrayed me on that point.
How many did you eat?
Two.
Okay. You know what? I applaud your resistance.
Yeah. There were some good ones, but there were some other guys later on that came up and had some. I think he kind of made his way around. He's being a little donut whore. Just giving them out. Just donut
what do you
holes
think it would
open
feel
for
like,
business.
What do you think it would feel like to fuck a donut hole?
Depends on the donut.
Glazed. Standard.
Glazed?
You think
that'd
be the best one since it probably has like the most lubricant? Like
no, it's kind of sticky. It might be pulling on your shit.
Yeah, but do you think icing would be better? Like a chocolate donut, like with the chocolate icing on the top? Like if you smushed it all to the center of the donut?
I think the best one to fuck would be like a Bavarian cream. You stick it inside there. And it's got the cream in there.
What about the jelly filled?
That's what I mean. Same concept.
Yeah, I bet the jelly filled.
You can't fuck an actual donut hole. I feel like it'll just get rough. Mm. You'll chafe. The last thing that I had from my week was we started a job in a hospital, and it is a minority job, so there has to be 20% minority presence on the job site. So they had some of the people fill out paperwork and give them special badges to make sure that they were on the job.
Right.
And under ethnicity, I was watching one of the African-American guys that were filling out the paper. I was just checking it out because I was curious about it. And under ethnicities, you know, it had like
Hispanic,
Caucasian, African-American, Middle Eastern, Asian, Pacific Asian, and LGBT.
No Q.
So apparently lesbian,
gays,
bi, and transgender, lesbian, bi, gay, transgender. Apparently that's an ethnicity now. And I thought it was kind of weird. All the old guys were losing their shit about it. But I actually kind of thought logically, and I was like, it's obviously not an ethnicity, but apparently
they're a minority.
They're a minority now. So I guess companies that work on construction sites and stuff like that, that it demands there to be minorities. I guess now if you're part of the lesbian, gay,
the LGBT,
whatever.
Community.
Yeah, if you're part of the LGBT, you can be considered a minority and your company can get a minority point for that, which, I mean, you and I could just walk onto a job and start making out now and get some minority points.
Oh.
Interesting.
I think we should do that. I remember one time when
it might be like a Chuck and Larry situation where they're like, well, we're going to follow you around for a while, and if we don't see you guys fuck, you're not getting your points.
Well, I mean, me and you have touched each other's dicks and slapped each other's asses quite a few times. I'm pretty sure people who didn't know us would kind of consider us gay, since me and you normally go out to dinner together quite often. We've been mistaken for gay at IHOP before.
Yeah, IHOP waitress asked if we were together one time, and I was like, I mean, we're here together, yes. And then they're like, I mean, are you two dating? I was like, no, we're brothers. And then I
kind of wanted to, after you said that, jump in and go, so yeah.
So yeah, we're together.
Yeah, we are still together. We are still together.
I like one time me and Josh Molman, shout out, went to this grocery store to buy some random shit for a get together. And we were checking out in line and we had all our shit up there, but we kind of had it separated.
Yeah.
And the girl goes, is this all together? And Josh, without missing a beat, was like, no, but we are. And just grabbed my hand and held on to it. And the lady was like, okay. And just like reg our shit out. We left.
Oh, that's awesome.
I legitimately think we were buying chicken and waffles. That's what we were buying. Oh. And she was like, two gay white boys buying some chicken and waffles. This is an odd situation for me.
It is. It's always weird, like, whenever, like, I actually made a weird purchase myself, like, 2 days ago. So, if you notice, I'm a construction worker. You know that.
We do this.
Look at my hands. Look how soft and feel how soft my hands are. Good radio. Real
nope.
thing.
I'm not going to do that.
You should. I use lotion frequently because I hate.
It's a beta boy move.
I know it is. I know it is. But I hate rough skin because it dries out. And on me, on job sites, when I wasn't using lotion, my knuckles would flake when I would get home. Like, my skin would just peel off and it was bothering me. So I started using lotion on my hands. I was also out of toilet paper. So I went to the store and bought lotion and toilet paper. And I got to the line and I went, this lady thinks I'm about to masturbate so much, I'm about to go through an entire bottle of lotion and 4 rolls of toilet paper. So I then left the line to go get other things like deodorant and toothpaste and beer. And then
would have just been like, congratulations on puberty, young man, since you don't have any facial hair.
Yeah, I have some. Let's give me a little credit, Jesus Christ.
Very little.
It's just a goat's beard thing, but it's something.
It's getting there. At the time, did you have it, though?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. This was literally like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I did masturbate with that lotion, and I have went through a roll of the toilet paper. But she didn't need to know that.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to know that.
Throw her off a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, those are some pretty good talks on our week.
Those were things that happened this week. Oh, yeah. That was this week. Yeah. I did that this week.
Hope you guys also had an amazing week. We're going to go ahead and jump into some of the football stuff. The Falcons looked very sloppy in the red zone last Thursday.
That they did, not targeting Julio nearly enough.
Yeah, we did. They did target him a decent amount.
Not in the red zone.
Yeah, just not really in the red zone. And the times that they did, he wasn't able to complete it. We were at the bar watching the game, and there was some guy clapping back at us from across the bar because I was getting into it. And he was wearing some Eagles gear, and he eventually came over and bought me a shot because we were the only guys really paying attention to the game. Austin was too, but he wasn't decked out in Falcons gear, obviously.
Yeah, no, fuck me. I was just there.
But the guy was cool, so I bought him a shot before he left, and congrats to him because the fucking Eagles won. Yeah, like I said, the Falcons were very sloppy and weren't able to do much in the red zone, losing to Big Dick Nick and the Eagles 12-18. Jay Ajayi picked up a couple touchdowns, and Nick Foles caught another fucking pass off the Philly special. Madden might want to look into those catching stats that they gave them and adjust them a little bit, because apparently 2-for-2 now on the Philly special for Nick Foles.
To me, that's a 100% catch rating.
99, I'm going to say that
we still don't know what the fuck a catch is, because Zach Ertz in that game had that catch where he like caught it low and then hit the ground and the ball hit the ground.
But it was still a catch. And then basically
Julio the next drive
had the exact same thing happen,
where he pinned it against his helmet, kind of like the catch for the Giants against the New England Patriots. He pinned it against his helmet and landed on the ground, but the ball never touched the ground. And then he slid out of bounds. They're like, well, he never actually had control. I was like, he had the same amount of control as Ertz had earlier. I mean,
yeah, just on a different part of his body.
Yeah, and so the NFL still doesn't know what a catch is.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure it out. Another thing that was really sloppy about the game is there were 26 penalties.
The
and
very
a mistake.
First play
yeah,
was a penalty.
I'll get to that if you stop interrupting me.
I'm sorry.
There were 26 penalties in a mistake-filled game, starting with a call only 4 seconds into the game. I think that's a record. Did we look into that?
I don't think we actually looked it up, but I'm almost guaranteeing
somebody
it
should check that out, because I actually tweeted it, and that would be a nice little fact drop for me if it turned out to be true.
Now, remember, we're not a fact podcast.
We are just an opinion. Julio failed to pull down a pass from the 2-yard line to win the game. Tevin Coleman was able to pick up a touchdown after Deion Jones got an interception. But in the end, the Falcons' failures in the red zone led to their defeat. Julio did do very well with 10 receptions for 169 yards. And Austin Hooper had 3 receptions for 24 yards. Hooper is somebody they definitely need to incorporate more, especially in that red zone. They need to find a way to get things done in the red zone when you have two backs with amazing scoring potential like Freeman and Coleman, as well as one of the best wide receivers in the game and a tight end who's ever improving, such as Austin Hooper. They got to find ways to make this work and figure it out fast. Otherwise, we're kind of be in a repeat of last year for the Falcons.
Biggest letdown for me for that game was you didn't see Ridley very much.
No. He didn't have a single reception. I'm wondering, with the big hype that they had around him, if they were really trying to guard him on that deep threat. Like I said, I think they were guarding him a lot, because like I said, Julio got 10 receptions.
Yeah.
And that's not considering the ones that he could have had that came his way. And so I feel like if Julio has a few more games like this, you'll see Ridley open up a little more. Sanu had a few very good catches also, so it'll be exciting to see them. I just really hope they figure out these red zone issues and figure them out fast. Another team that had some issues late in their game was the Colts, although Andrew Luck was looking pretty good. Austin, what did you think about that game?
I liked it. I liked seeing Andrew Luck throw a touchdown to Aaron Ebron. Good pickup. I'm happy he's there. His first touchdown since he's been back, and it was a good ball. It was a deep ball. It was like a 30-yard ball.
And he took a lot of hits that game and got up every time. He didn't seem to even be sore at all.
No,
I know you were saying the whole time, you're like, every time I see Andrew Luck on the field, I just hate it.
Yeah, every time I see him down, I'm just scared that he's going to get hurt again, or he's going to hurt something else.
Yeah.
Because you know he's babying that shoulder. He might not think about his legs, and then somebody, like he tears an ACL or something like that because he's too focused of his upper body. I'm scared about his lower body and other extremities. But he then threw another touchdown to T.Y. Hilton, and it's good to see those two still on page. T.Y. Hilton had quite a few catches. He got me good points on fantasy as
well. Really good catches a lot of times in traffic and around people. So
yeah, he was in tight coverage the whole game, and I liked seeing Andrew Luck thread the needle, even though he did have an interception early on. But he definitely came back in my mind and showed me what he could do, even though they had an upsetting loss with a fumble to Doyle. He got it and got hit and just came out, and they picked her on up and just took it back for a touchdown, and the Colts had nothing to do after that, and it was game, set, match.
No, it was really a good back and forth game the entire time until the very end, when at the very beginning we saw the Colts kind of starting to rush a few things and force a few things, and I was getting nervous that he was just going to throw an early interception or something. One of them he actually threw right to the guy, and it happened to bounce out the middle linebacker.
Two plays in a row he threw it right to a defender.
And so they were lucky not to have those get picked off. But the way the game kind of ended, the Bengals hit A.J. Green for a 38-yard pass that picked up the touchdown. Joe Mixon ended up picking up a 1-yard touchdown. They kicked a field goal, and then Clayton for I don't even know how to say that name. It's Fej Dilem, 83-yard fumble return. So that was just unfortunate. Other than that, it really went back and forth the entire game. Adam Vinatieri hit a couple nice field goals, ended up missing a big one also. But you can't knock him for it. I mean, it was like a 53-yard field goal. Just barely fell short. He hit a 51-yarder in the second quarter. So I think the Colts looked good. One thing on the way to the bar that I was listening to on the radio was, people were just saying, you know, and I obviously thought the Bengals were going to win, but people were saying, you know, Bengals are going to be a blowout. The Colts defense sucks, blah, blah, blah. And although we didn't see a lot from Hooker, I thought we'd see a little more out of him. But it was a close game. And then just those couple things led to some easy scores for them. I feel like the game was closer than the score indicates.
Yeah.
And I feel like Indy really showed a big improvement, and I'll be excited for you as we watch the rest of those.
No, I thought the defense actually held up better than I even thought they would, because I was expecting the Bengals to do blowout city as well. And for the Colts to lead the game, a majority of the game, I was actually surprised.
Yeah. Baltimore ended up blowing out Buffalo 47-3, excuse me. Buffalo ended up switching out their quarterback towards the end and got Josh Allen in there a little bit, although he was able to get him in position for a field goal. He really wasn't able to do much more, really.
No, they got torn apart at the line.
And one thing I noticed, too, that they mentioned for the Ravens, Josh Brown, Michael Crabtree, and Willie Snead all scored touchdowns. So Flacco did an amazing job spreading the ball amongst his receivers. And I know a lot of people aren't talking a lot about the Ravens, but those are three guys that they're not, at this point in their career, superstars, but they're all viable wide receivers.
Yeah, they're also someone you wouldn't mind throwing the ball to.
Yeah, definitely great flexes for fantasy football at any point. And the only thing, I mean, you like seeing it get spread out as far as the team play goes. It's not the best for fantasy, but I'm sure all of them had decent enough points, had more points than some people had in their flex this week.
Yeah.
And so it'll be exciting to see how Baltimore continues that run. The Giants got beat by Jacksonville 20-15. That was also a pretty close game, back and forth the entire time. Tampa Bay upsets New Orleans with a huge scoring game, 48-40. I don't think anybody had 88 points figured in that game. That
no, was if one... anybody was betting the over, they got it.
Yeah. Shout out to anybody that bet the over on that game. Fitzpatrick just blew the doors wide open. Somebody that you could never even assume would have a game like that. He ends up with 4 passing touchdowns, 21 of 28 and 417 yards. Didn't get sacked once. Rushed 12 times for 36 yards and had a rushing touchdown.
Man.
So Jesus fucking Christ.
Just a dude that bounces around teams, throwing up 4 touchdowns, getting 400 yards week one.
Now, this could also be the same situation that almost a reverse of the Eagles last year, where Nick Foles finished the year out for him. But it also kind of reminds you of the situation that Jimmy G was in when he was in New England. If Ryan Fitzpatrick can get the Bucs through those first 3 games and James Winston comes back, Buccaneers could be a playoff bound team. I know we were talking about it at the beginning. If they start off 0-3, that, I mean, it's going to be a rough thing to come back from. But also, if Fitzpatrick plays like this these next couple games, do you even bring Jameis Winston back?
Yep, that's what I was just thinking. Do you think they're going to sit Jameis Winston? If he comes back, if he has 3 games in a row where he gets, I'd say, 3 touchdowns, 200 yards, 3 games in a row, are you going to sit that guy?
Let me do something real quick. I'm going to look this up on the ESPN app right now. I'm going to look up Fitzpatrick and his own percentage. Fitzpatrick right now. He is owned by 1.3% of the league.
Wow.
Among leagues. 1.3% of all fantasy leagues had him. How much do you think that percent jumps up to after this week?
Oh, it's going to go high. Especially people who drafted somebody like me, who drafted Deshaun Watson, who did awful against the Patriots. Only racking up 11 points. He did piss poor the whole game. Couldn't do anything. Now you have somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick going out there throwing up numbers like fucking hold my dick style. I can definitely see people dropping Watson and picking up Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Or just any other players that they might happen to have that they just don't worry about dropping at that time. So people that are struggling for quarterbacks. But also, do you think this might be a situation of a one-game wonder? I mean, we've seen players have big games like this, and then you pick them up and put them in your line up and they never produce like that again.
I mean, there's people who always bounce around like that. They said the same thing about Nick Foles when he originally went to Philly. He threw 7 touchdowns in his first game with Philly. And people were like, holy shit, this dude's going to be a god.
Yeah.
And then he did awful and they sat him. And then he comes in for the playoffs and went through the playoffs and gets a Super Bowl. And now they're like, holy shit, look at Nick Foles again. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you never know. He might be a one guy here. They could have the same thing. James Winston comes back. They go far in the year. Maybe James Winston goes down. Ryan Fitzpatrick plays through the playoffs. Like what we talked about, a 2-quarterback set.
Yeah, it could be a viable option. And after seeing games like that, you got to think that the team's starting to think about that. New Orleans ended up losing, but they did have a pretty good comeback. I got to give it a shout out to my number one all pick in my fantasy draft, which was Alvin Kamara. He had 8 rushes for only 29 yards, but he picked up 2 touchdowns on those. And he also racked up 112 yards through the air on 9 receptions and another touchdown there. So he ended up putting up a shit ton of points for me. Shout out to my boy. We're going to jump over to the Houston New England game. New England beats Houston 27-20 in a pretty not really exciting game.
That was an awful game.
A game where they were getting the plays. Chris Hogan didn't do shit for me. I thought he would do a lot more, being one of New England's only real well-known receivers right now. But one thing I didn't realize, that New England has Jeremy Hill.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so that's a good addition for them, as well as having Gronk, Dorsett, and Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan only had 1 reception for 11 yards. Gronk had 7 receptions for 123 yards, and Philip Dorsett picked up 66 yards on 7 receptions. Gronk, Dorsett, and James White all had touchdowns. Tom Brady went 26 of 39 for 277 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception.
I think the score doesn't really show what that game was. I think the Patriots really kind of manhandled the defense of the Texans, and the defense of the Patriots really manhandled the offense of the Texans. Like, I felt like the Patriots straight up dominated that game, even though the score was a lot closer than it should have been.
Yeah. We were wondering whether or not when Jimmy G would lose his first game, and it's happened.
He lost it.
First game of the season as a full-time starter, San Francisco falls 16-24 against the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota's defense was hot.
Yes.
And few interceptions, one of them going for 28 yards. Mike Hughes took the pick 6 back for a touchdown. But Kirk Cousins didn't look terrible. Had some good touchdowns. I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins is going to be a good fit for Minnesota. But Jimmy G looked like he had his composure for the most part. Towards the end of the game, I can see it starting to get to him, though. He was making some pretty
ballsy moves.
Not only ballsy moves, you could just kind of see the frustration, almost kind of like a Philip Rivers, how you could just see him like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he kept his composure, like I said, for the big majority of the game. Even after the pick 6, he kind of brushed it off. But towards the end of the game, he threw another interception, and I could see that it was starting to get to him. But
you think he's going to go on a date with another porn star soon?
I don't know. Maybe it'll help him. He threw 3 interceptions. It was the first time he had thrown that many. He went 15 for 33, but he did pick up 261 yards and a touchdown. Kirk Cousins went 20 of 36 for 244 yards and 2 touchdowns with no interceptions. So that wasn't too bad of a game. I feel like Minnesota definitely earned the win there, controlled the game for the most part. And that's pretty much all the games that we've seen right now. Actually, the one that I need to cover that we haven't, I wrote a blog on it before we started the podcast. Pittsburgh and Cleveland tie 21-21 with two of the most disappointing kicks I have seen. Now, that game was pouring down rain the entire fourth quarter. Even Jarvis Landry and Antonio Brown were both dropping passes. It was so wet out. So you could tell that it was definitely having its effect on the game. The Browns shanked a punt early on and then shanked their last kick to win the game from 42 yards out. It was about the same distance, but yeah. I actually think theirs was 43, but before that, Pittsburgh had a 42-yard field goal that they could have won the game, and it went just a little to the left. Mm-hmm. So Cleveland lit the fuck up.
Oh my God, people were freaking out, jumping up and down. It zoomed in on this little group, and there was a girl who was like straight up like twerk dancing, like getting down.
Even
she
the bar
was so
we were in,
stoked.
Everybody stopped paying attention to the 3 o'clock games to watch the remainder of that game. And people were like, holy shit, we're going to see the Browns. It was almost like that thing, you know, where were you when this happened? It's almost going to be like, where were you when the Browns won a game again?
Yeah, but it would have made so much more the first game of the season right after Hard Knocks.
Against their rival, the Pack or the Steelers.
In overtime.
In overtime.
If they would have won, it would have been such a storybook ending. But it ends just how the Browns normally do, in a complete upsetting disaster.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I talked about in the blog was, do you really expect anything else from the Browns? Their losing streak has ended, but the winless streak is intact. They still have yet to win a fucking game.
Now, how does this make you feel, like, as a Steeler?
Pissed. Like, I feel like if you don't dominate the Cleveland at this point, what did you that's a loss for you.
Now, the last team Cleveland beat was the Steelers.
Was it the Steelers? I thought they beat the Ravens a couple years ago with the kick to keep them from they
I believe that was the Steelers.
Was it the Steelers?
Almost.
We're gonna have to fact check you because I think it was the Ravens.
I'll go ahead and fact check it right now.
Do it. Do it. But either way, the game, that was an exciting game. Antonio Brown was just doing Antonio Brown things. He couldn't be stopped. He had 9 receptions for 93 yards and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster, who I said is going to have another breakout year this year, he had 5 receptions for 119 yards. Austin having both of them on his fucking fantasy team was a really nice thing to sit there and watch as I'm playing him. Boswell missed his one kick like we talked about in overtime. And the game ends with that was the first time I think they said that the week one had a tie since like the 1970s, like 1971.
Really?
So it was a long time since the last week one tie. But hey, 131-1 Cleveland Browns, baby steps.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction. We just got to go ahead and make the kick next time.
You just have to get at least one more point than the other team.
Yeah, just one.
That's all you need. Just one. And so we got some other games going on right now, but we're not going to touch on those. We might do like a little mini cast later in the week to talk about what we thought about those. Otherwise, we'll just kind of cover them either next week or we just won't talk about them because we do what we want around here. Is there anything else you wanted to add for the NFL section?
No, I'm pretty much wrapped up.
All right. One thing we were playing some Madden last night, and we happened to catch a little bit of the NCAA games on Saturday night. Kentucky defeated the Florida Gators 27-16 to break a 31-year losing streak, ending one of the longest losing streaks in college football. It was the fourth longest losing streak in NCAA history. In their last 3 meetings, the Wildcats had only lost by 6 points or less, so the gap's been closing for some time. Kentucky wasn't able to use up the rest of their time in the fourth quarter, so Florida got a last-shot chance to make a touchdown, but when Florida fumbled on the play, they thought it was an incomplete pass, but I guess it actually went backwards out of his hand, and UConn picked the ball up and ran in for a touchdown to secure the win.
Nice. Also, I do have the fact, what I was just fact-checking.
All right, we're interrupting some NCAA football to go back on what we said before. Who was the last team that the Browns actually beat?
We were both wrong.
Okay.
It's neither the Steelers nor the Ravens. However, they did go to overtime with the Steelers in the last game of the season in 2016, but the Steelers won with a field goal. But the game before that was their first win, and it was against the Chargers 20-17.
Damn. We were both wrong.
Yep, both wrong. I did not think it was the Chargers. Yep. When you said Ravens, I was like, oh, fuck, that might be right. But I almost swore. I remember the overtime game with the Steelers, but I thought the Browns won that one. That was the one
The Ravens were having a year where they weren't doing that good either. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, we at least got a team we were able to beat. But I wouldn't have thought the Chargers. I'm sure fucking Philip Rivers was really fucking happy about that.
Oh, you know his face was red and he was slitting throats.
Do you think Philip Rivers was more mad there, or do you think the Steelers are more mad now? I think there's going to be people. Pittsburgh's going to be a rough day at work tomorrow.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be
Yinzers,
people losing their shit.
The Yinzers are going to be not too happy down there.
No, they're not going to be happy down there in Pittsburgh.
But back to the NCAA stuff. I don't know how into college football we're really going to get, but I think we should kind of do that on Saturday nights. Just play some Madden, watch some games, and we'll have some shit to talk about.
Okay.
Be excited to see some of the up-and-coming players a little bit for the draft later on in the year. Also, after their tough loss to LSU in week one, Miami U took out some frustration on Savannah State by unleashing a record shit-stomping 77-0. It was the biggest win gap in school history.
Let's go.
I mean,
you.
Goddamn, that's like that's Madden stats right there. I mean, 77-0. Jesus fuck.
I don't know if I've really scored 77 when I'm not playing on arcade mode against the easiest type. I mean, yeah. I really don't think I'm throwing up 77 very often.
Yeah, those are some numbers. I'm gonna go ahead and touch on Mizzou as we're here in Missouri. Drew Locke put on a show as Mizzou beat Wyoming 40-13. Locke showed every way that he could possibly hurt a team in Mizzou's victory. At one point in the second quarter, Wyoming's defensive line was closing in, and Locke scrambled to the left and bowled right over Wyoming cornerback Antonio Hull to pick up the first down and made sure to let him know about it. So I like the confidence. And I know you kind of like players that are real humble in football, and I'm normally the exact same way. Watching MMA, I always like the fighters like Anderson Silva early on. He was very humble until the UFC broke him and made him become a showboat. And I also like in hockey, like you can have a hard fought game and at the end, the players are real nice. I like the chirping throughout the game, but at the end, it's always, you got the handshakes. But for some reason, dude, with football, I like that flashiness. I like the shit talkers. I like it when they just,
I have nothing against like people celebrating and freaking out and all that. But what I hate is whenever a team scores, they beat you. And then that team's celebrating and the other team's like, y'all are fucking assholes. Like, they're all
you
like,
don't want to let
like
it go
that.
Past
if,
the game.
If they score and they showboat and they do their thing, you know what? Buckle in for next play.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You don't get in their face. You don't rip chains off people's necks, fucking Crabtree. Or
yeah, nothing that gets you ejected when I got you in my fucking fantasy lineup.
Stuff like that is just ridiculous to me. I think that's pushing the envelope way too far. But if you're going to taunt and dance and do your thing on the field, that's fine. But when you start getting too personal with it, that makes me angry.
Yeah, I just like the little kind of in your face, you fucking suck, bitch. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Locke also went 33 for 45 for 398 yards and 4 touchdowns with a career high of 51 rushing yards. Hopefully in a few weeks, I will be able to say that Mizzou football is back.
Yep, they do have him up there in the top 5 for the Heisman race. They did put that out at the beginning of the year.
So seeing as Missouri currently is unranked, it'll be exciting if they can make their way into the rankings, possibly pick themselves up a bowl game towards the end of the season.
That'd be nice.
And now that I'm getting really into the NFL, we can kind of dabble in the NCAA. I watched actually more NCAA in high school than I did NFL. And I've grown to like the NFL with the fantasy and everything like that. Yeah. But NCAA is really cool to watch because these are kids like still trying to get jobs. Like, and their school pride's on the line. They're not, you got NFL players that are like, oh, I'm making millions, whatever. But these kids are like, I'm not making money yet. So I got to fucking prove myself amongst all these fucking hundreds of other schools for a chance to be in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's such a low percentage of people who actually make it, which is crazy when you think about it. When you look at the NFL, you're like, look at all these fucking people. Yeah, but then you look at college, and it's like 30 times the size of the complete staff of the NFL combined.
Or the crazy thing is, too, I actually noticed playing Madden, like you see all these like 68s and stuff like that, and be like, God, these guys are fucking shitty. How do you make it into a league being that bad? But then it was like a 68 in Madden is better than 90% of athletes that play football.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Like a 68 on Madden, if I met that person in real life, would dominate
you
in any fucking
sport.
Way.
Yeah. Like, he just would take you to school. You would never be able to do anything.
I would have to play him against Madden and beat his shitty avatar in Madden.
Yeah, that's
the only thing I could do.
You know what I think would be really fun? What? Find out who does those ratings and like see what they would rate you. Like, go there, do a couple tests.
Do a workout and be like, what would
I
be?
Do workouts, run some drills and see what they like rate you
as. I would probably be rated an 18.
Like, I would want to know. I think
what would I be rated?
I think my rating would be really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends. I would have to do workouts as a quarterback and probably a tight end. Those would be the two positions I tried out in. Yours, I feel like you would go like strong safety and wide receiver, obviously.
Yeah, those would be the two I went for, yeah. Or maybe even a cornerback.
Yeah, something like that.
The
only thing that I don't know about you with cornerback is you have the hands, but you don't have the speed. And I feel like if you were the cornerback, you'd be able to intercept stuff, but you don't really have the speed to keep up with somebody who's really fast.
I would probably have to
I'd be a good
red zone cornerback.
Yeah,
like,
that's why I think safety
up,
would be good
in.
For you because you're kind of just in the back waiting for shit and you could see ball get ball as opposed to like keeping up with somebody.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's why I think safety would fit you a little more. But now that we're done with our sports talk, we're going to go ahead and jump into the fun part of the podcast, starting off with our wow story of the week.
Wow.
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 What you smoking there, Austin?
My vape.
Ooh. What flavor you got there?
I got an Aqua Pure.
Oh, where'd you get it?
I got it from the vape store.
You mean the one that now has a new store open now at 8623 Mexico Road, No'Fallon, Missouri?
That is the exact one I'm talking about, Gavin. It opened just this weekend.
Yeah, it was. We thought the grand opening was a couple Saturdays ago, but they had a little issues. The store was ready to go, but they were waiting for a cash register to take your money. And that's exactly what you should take into that store, because they have some awesome mods. Badass tanks. I'm actually getting ready to get a new one myself, and that is the place to go for all your vape needs. They have awesome flavors like Aqua. I get all my flavors there. They have awesome deals. Be sure and tell them that Inside the Pocket sent you. Go to either their location off Mexico Road in O'Fallon, or hit the one off Lake St. Louis Boulevard in Lake St. Louis, Missouri. Just exit off Highway 70 on Lake St. Louis Boulevard, make a left, cross the highway, drive down a little bit on your left-hand side right next to El Maguey. You're going to see a nice little vape store there. Go in there, tell them Inside the Pocket sent you. They're going to treat you real good.
Yeah, and then you can go ahead and make some goofy fucking clouds.
Goofy clouds. And they're the sponsor of this segment, the Wow Story of the Week. I'm going to kick things off with a story about a woman who claims a marriage scam tricked her into marrying a complete stranger during a mock wedding.
Wow.
A 21-year-old unidentified woman from Hong Kong said she was asked to play as a bride in a mock wedding as part of a training in order to be a wedding planner, the BBC reported on Wednesday. The woman originally signed up to be a makeup artist, but seeing a post on Facebook, she was convinced by the firm to become a wedding planner instead because she could make a little more money. She received a week of free training in Hong Kong before traveling to the Chinese province of Fuan for this Fuan. Mock wedding. Fuan. However, as a simulated wedding went on, her and the groom signed an actual, like, real marriage document. Yeah. So right there, I would be like, yeah, I'm not fucking signing this.
Yeah, I'm kind of not into this.
Yeah. But she went ahead and did it, breaking the Chinese stereotypes as being very smart, so good for her. She told the company that the marriage would be voided, or she was told by the company that the marriage would be voided afterwards. But the woman did not realize she was actually married until she returned to Hong Kong and sought some legal help. The purpose of the scam, according to the South Chinese Morning Post, is to earn Chinese residents for a chance to apply for residency in Hong Kong on the basis that they have a spouse in the region. It's a new form of scam. The director of Rights and Benefits Committee in Hong Kong Federation of Trade Unions, which is the longest fucking committee name I've ever heard in my life. I feel disappointed and I can't believe it's even happening in modern Hong Kong. It was immediately clear to the woman was married, but she may have to apply for an actual divorce. And apparently over in China each year, an average of 1,000 Hong Kong China marriage scam cases occur. That's crazy.
So that's like, all kind of like just trying to get people to be able to stay in their country, right? Yeah,
basically, I've talked to some people that back when we were younger and we went to High Hill Church Camp.
Yep.
I was talking to one of them that went over there for a mission trip, and one of the girls said, like, I will walk through there and literally 100 Chinese men probably in my 2 weeks there would come up to me and be like, will you please marry me so I can come to America?
That's wild.
Like, they just want to marry you to earn residency. And that's crazy shit. Like, we get the little scams on our phones where, or like on your computer where it's like, you have a virus, call this number and pay this money to right. get it off there. Or you got like the phone scams where it's like, you're now being fucking charged with all these crimes. And if you don't send us a $500 Target gift card number, you're going to jail.
Yeah. So now that they're going to, like, she's going to actually have to apply for a divorce.
Yes.
If they get the divorce, can they still not deport the guy because he had a marriage there?
I'm sure with the right kind of legal help, they can get her out of this or annul it. I don't know what Chinese marriage legalities are like they are over here, but you should be able to actually, it's not the same as a divorce. It's actually an annulment where, like a divorce, you get split up and it's like you were married and now you're no longer married. And annulment basically wipes it to where it says you were never actually married.
Huh.
And so I would assume that China has annulment processes there, but if not, thoughts and prayers to this chick, because that kind of sucks that you were dumb enough to get culled into something like that.
Yeah, no, the lady, I would say, is pretty fucking dumb. I kind of think you should be married to this guy for being a fucking idiot.
Yeah, this guy might actually
might be help smart. You.
Might
yeah,
help
the guy
out
might be able to get you somewhere.
Come over, get a job, take care of you, and you won't get roped into any more dumb fucking scams.
Yeah, he might just save your life.
Yeah, so...
Why don't you get to know him before you judge
him? Yeah, maybe before you get into it. There was actually a girl I went to high school with. We were talking about our grandparents getting married and stuff like that. Her grandparents met at Vegas one night, got married that same night, married for 52 years.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
That can happen.
That's fucking bonkers.
Yeah, off the wall shit.
Yeah. You have people that date for like 10, 15, 20 years and finally get married and get divorced in 6 months.
Yep.
Because apparently that piece of paper meant something or fucked something up.
So yeah,
that's why I'm in no hurry to get married. Like, you see these kids still like 18 to 21 getting married and they've known people for months. And it's like, chill
that's
the
wild.
Fuck out. Like,
yes.
Like, chill. You don't need
to. You don't need to be doing that right
yeah.
now, son.
I wake up in the morning and I'm like, fuck, I can't believe I did this stupid thing. Can you imagine something as serious as like signing over half of your life and possessions to somebody?
Like getting married before you can drink? Like
dumb.
Yeah, that's to me, it's stupid. I mean, good for you if it works. If it works out and you guys live on happy labor after, that's perfect. But I'm going to go ahead and assume you're going to be divorced by the time you're 25. Like, that's my guess is it's going to be done.
It's still, there's times where bad ideas work out.
Yeah.
And that's this scenario. Regardless of if it works out for you, it's a bad fucking idea. And I don't suggest it. What do you got for one of your wild stories?
Mine is something that was in the news pretty heavy. Mac Miller died of an apparent OD.
R.I.P.
Yeah, and I feel bad because I really liked Mac Miller, and I listened to him a lot in high school.
He wasn't somebody I listened to, like, on the reg, but I liked his shit.
I have him in a lot of my playlists and stuff, like, when I listen to music every morning when I shower and stuff, and he's on most of my playlists, at least one of his songs. But he died of a drug overdose, and I know everybody sees the whole addiction thing as a disease or not a disease. I'm not trying to get into that. I don't care about that. I have my opinion on it. I'm not going to really speak out on it. But I don't feel bad when people die of overdoses.
Yeah.
As much as I want to feel bad, I can't feel bad because you did that to yourself. That's just like committing suicide in my mind. It was an uncalculated suicide.
Yeah. It was something that could easily have been avoided.
Yes.
That it's like something simple. Like it's almost similar. Like if you're just driving and you get in a car accident and die, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But if you were drunk driving and get in a car accident and die, why the fuck were you drunk driving?
Yeah.
It's almost like if somebody poisoned you, that would be a disaster. But when you poison yourself, it's kind of hard to be like,
on you. And he was only 26, so he doesn't even make it into the 27 club, and he'll eventually be forgotten
because
he's not
because
a part of the group.
Not with all those other 27-year-olds.
Yep, he's not in the famous group, so there he goes.
Yep. What do you think about everybody blaming Ariana Grande for it?
I think that's bullshit.
That is bullshit. As somebody who's been in like a fucked up relationship with somebody who was on drugs, like I spent a lot of time trying to help with that relationship and solve it. I cared about the person a lot. And eventually it comes a time where you can't allow your life to get ruined by a person who refuses to fix theirs. Like a relationship should be two people mutually benefiting each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that one of you aren't going to have the low points in your life where the other has to help pick them up.
Right.
You know, that's what a team is for. You're supposed to be a team.
Not everything's 50-50. Sometimes it's going to be 80-20 at times.
Exactly.
Until it evens
but
back
when
out.
It's literally you being a security blanket for a person who refuses to fix their shit, you can only take so much.
Right.
And you can either one of two things is going to happen. You're going to go down with them, or you can sadly break away from that. I mean, we experienced the same thing with our mom. I mean,
right.
She was an alcoholic and we could have easily stuck in that negative atmosphere that we were living in. But I mean, you were a little younger than I was and I realized it. So that's when we realized that, you know, going with our dad was going to be the safe route for us. And that's how that kind of went down. And so there are times where, you know, I've told people the story of our mother and people will even be like, well, you can't turn your back on family. And it's like, well,
no, yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can when your family is turning their back on you for substance.
Yeah.
Then you need to, it's not turning your back. It's saving yourself.
Yeah.
And so anybody that's blaming Ariana Grande for turning on Mac Miller when he needed her most,
I'm sure she gave her fullest effort to help before she had to finally get out. Yeah, I'm sure she did way more
than the average person would have done. And she shouldn't have had to put a noose around her neck for Mac Miller to drag down.
And his life is not on her line.
Yeah, like his life is not her responsibility.
Right.
Like, if, you know, let me ask you this. If Ariana Grande would have stuck with him and they both would have died of overdose or something like that, would people be blaming Mac Miller for her going down that road? No, they'd say, well, Ariana could have just walked away. Why'd she stay with him?
Right.
Same thing. So it's a double-edged sword that people are fucking stabbing her with. And anybody that honestly thinks it's her fault that guy died is a dumb fuck.
Not that she wasn't on his mind for the things he was doing, because obviously it was a more traumatic event for him than it was her. I do believe he did get in trouble for a DUI shortly after they broke up.
Yeah.
And he had some other spats. But then he came out and said that he was matured and his ex was not, talking about Ariana. And then he goes on to plan a tour that was supposed to start next month. Then he overdoses early, and now there's no tour. He just came out with a new album called Swimming. I have not listened to it yet. I'm going to get on that. But you pump out a brand new album, you set up your tour, and you're still just filling yourself with poison to the point that you die. Is it really because of her?
Yeah.
Is it really her fault?
And I understand, you know, people will ask, like, oh, Kurt Cobain and all these other famous people, Robin Williams, how could they have died? And I know we talked about this in the last podcast when we got into dark humor and stuff like that. Just because you're rich and famous and have money, there's plenty of people that have turned away from that. I mean, look at Pat McAfee walking away from millions of dollars to go pursue an internet career. There's a point where somebody, it doesn't matter the amount of money you're making, you don't feel fulfilled as a human. You don't feel like what you're doing is enough to justify your existence.
Right.
And when people feel trapped by that, that's why people either rise up and become more, or they go down the terrible path that you see them. And it's unfortunate. I'm not saying, like, we're glad he's dead, but it's also hard to provide the type of sympathy that you would if it was something that was out of his hands.
Right. And, like, that's something that we talk about, is, like, choosing the right path. I always forget his name, but you know the famous movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah.
The guy who's the main actor in that, who shrinks the kids, he was actually at one time the top A-list celebrity in Hollywood. He was the most paid actor. Then he just stopped making movies.
Yeah.
And nobody knew why. They're like, what the fuck? What'd you do? Well, he went through a divorce, and he was fighting for his kids, and he said, I'm done making movies. I'm going to start taking care of my kids. I'm going to be with my kids. I'm going to be with my family. I want to do that. And that's the direction he took, thinking that his family could fall apart if he kept going on being this A-list celebrity that he was. That's what I'm saying, is it's about the decisions you make for yourself to move forward. Like Mac, like Ariana Grande, she could have stayed with Mac Miller and say he overdosed and died, and she did not and survived. Well, why wasn't she there? Why didn't she help? What's her problem?
You might have a situation that Jim Carrey found himself in where they're like, you're responsible for not telling somebody about it, or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why am I, just because I was in a relationship with this person, responsible for keeping them alive?
Yeah.
Like, it's not Jim your...
Carrey's girlfriend killed herself.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember
something
that.
Along those lines, or she was sick and died and he didn't get the proper help, or he was trying to do holistic medicine or something like that. Kind of like the family, the exorcism of Emily Rose, where they suck exorcists to heal her instead of giving her actual medicine. Yeah. And then they tried to say that that was them neglecting their child, but it was just them following their religious beliefs. That's a totally different situation.
Yeah, different situation.
But it's funny how often people can place the blame on somebody who's perfectly capable of keeping themselves alive onto somebody else just because they want somebody to blame for it, instead of holding a person accountable for the shitty things that they did.
That's something I think that we really miss, is like people having something, like nobody is accountable for anything they do anymore. I feel like everybody always wants something to do with somebody else, and in case it fails, they'll be able to blame it on them or give partial blame to them. Nobody's going to go out there and put their own neck out for it to get cut if they fuck up.
Yeah. Speaking of accountability, Nike making Colin Kaepernick their spokesman.
Yeah.
For the new thing. Now it's been said that he's been under contract with them for quite a long time. So the people freaking out are really just freaking out because he's on the cover. Obviously this is like a big spit in the NFL's face almost, saying like, well, you guys are going to kick him out, or we're going to make him the face of our brand.
Yeah.
Oh, and we sell you all your fucking uniforms.
Yeah.
So now the NFL can't even get rid of the guy. But
surprisingly, not a lot of talk about it after like
a couple days. And now people are more focused on making memes about it than freaking out about it, which is how it goes. And, you know, it's just one of those things that people get so split. I mean, I know people are like, oh, there's all these things that he's disrespecting by doing this, and he could do all these other things, when clearly he has made it. He spoke out about it, saying that it's not about disrespect and what it's actually about, which is, you know, people so often look at the action or the message. They don't look at the message. They look at the action being taken and get mad at that instead of looking into why it's being done.
I think people take it into their own rights of what they think it should mean, not what that person is saying it
exactly
means.
It offends me because I think it does this. Well, they don't think that, so maybe find out what they think they're doing before you get upset about it.
It's just common misinterpretation.
Yeah. And so a bunch of people started burning their Nike shit, freaking the fuck out about it. And all this stuff, cutting the Nike swooshes off stuff. Nike came out with an image the other day of a new scorched look sneaker in response, holding their accountability. You know, they're like, yeah, we made them the fucking face. And if you don't like it, we don't give a shit. We're still going to do it.
If they sell those shoes, I think I'm going to buy a pair.
Yeah, they're pretty fucking dope looking.
Yeah.
I'll probably post it on the Facebook page tonight or something, so you can check it out if you haven't seen it. But they're kind of fucking dope looking, and it's kind of just a funny thing to be like, you people are burning shit that you've already given us money for. Yeah. So more people are going to spend money on this now.
Yeah. Any press is press.
Yeah.
I mean, the more
and a
it's
lot
out
of people
there,
were saying like, look at all the money that they're losing initially. But I saw an article came out that based on the amount of shares that the story got, apparently Nike got like $46 million worth of exposure just by people sharing shit.
Yeah.
So they got $46 million in free exposure. You going on YouTube and showing you burning your Nike shit is still putting your Nike shit up. It's just like the law of attraction that I talk about. Well, you know, one of the big things, they even talk about it in the movie The Secret, where they say Mother Teresa would never attend an anti-war rally because you're still focusing on the war. You throw a pro-peace rally, I'll be there all day.
Yeah.
People, although they're doing bad shit to Nike, they're still Nike, 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 Nike. They're still throwing that name out everywhere. And
really, Nike pulled a Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's what Donald Trump did during the election. He didn't make any commercials. He didn't make anything that he put out because everybody else was so busy covering
him. He just made people talk about him.
So many people were talking about him getting it. He got so much press. He was constantly on the TV. He never had to make anything.
And that's why there's billion-dollar geniuses that run companies like that. And the dumb little fucking average guy that's like, oh, I ain't fucking buying Nike anymore. Well,
you just
whatever.
Gave him advertising.
Yeah, you just gave him advertising, and that's why you're the dum-dum that works a daily pleb job and they're million-dollar business owners.
Yeah.
That's one thing, too, that people are like, it's so funny. Like, obviously, any business has the right to deal with their business any way they want, and anybody has the right to support or not support a business in any way they want. But it's so funny how you see, like, the two different sides of things bitch at one another, you know, conservatives calling liberals baby, but they're the first one to say, I'm not going to buy from Dick's Sporting Goods if they don't sell guns, and I'm not going to support Nike because they're supporting a guy that we feel like is disrespectful to the military.
Right.
And then liberals are the ones that are like, we don't want guns. We shouldn't have all this other shit, but they're the first ones to like point the blame anytime that their systems don't work.
I also saw a thing the other day, since you brought up Dick's. I saw a post that Dick's, ever since they got rid of their guns, since Dick's doesn't sell like any rifles or anything anymore, that they haven't hit any of their quarterly marks because they left the number the same but got rid of all the gun revenue. But they still expected Dick's to sell the amount of money, like enough product to cover the gun revenue.
Well, obviously, that wouldn't
they
be true.
They didn't. And they're like saying that Dick's is like failing because they're not making the mark. They're like, yeah, because you got rid of one of our products that we sold, one of our major markets. You just got rid of it and said, well, make it up somehow.
Yeah, it'd be like anything else. It'd be like Amazon saying, we're not going to sell electronics on Amazon anymore. But okay, well, now you're not making as much money. Well, no fucking shit.
Yeah,
we're not selling a big majority of the shit we sell.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like Although stores like Dick's obviously still sell plenty of sports shit for kids and sports and, you know, high school, college, whatever athlete you are. Obviously, firearms and weaponry are a big commodity in America.
Yeah, and Dick's was a high marketplace for it.
And it's one of those things. If they don't want to sell guns, that's fine. And if you don't want to shop there, that's what's so dumb. It's like, you're not going to support the fact that I like guns, so I'm not going to buy my cleats there anymore. Like, how does that make any fucking sense?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay, and you don't sell weapons anymore. I'll just go to a place that sells weapons.
And that comedian I showed you who told that joke about the gun rights, mm-hmm. how he's like, it's one side versus the other side, and eventually we're going to have to fight. And I can see it being a bloodbath when it comes to it. So if you hate guns, let me just suggest that you probably get a couple.
Yeah.
Because once it comes outlawed, you're all going to get shot. You really don't want anyone coming into your house and you'd be like, I got a lot of steak knives.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to shoot the fuck out of you.
The people that hate guns are going to need them the most. Because when it comes time for them to try to take them away from those of us that have guns, it's not going to be a good day.
Yeah, it's just going to be a bad time. And I hope that day never comes.
No.
I would never want it to reach that moment. I just think that's another dark humor thing. I just think that's a funny way to look at it.
And that's almost a situation, too, where you look at conservatives. So Colin Kaepernick's kneeling because he feels like his country isn't doing enough to address the increase in death among African-Americans in the American population, not just with police. Police are involved. That's what they, you know, they say this is obviously branching into the police, but it's not only that. They're not looking at ways to stop black on black crime in inner cities or just black injustice in general. You know, just typical stereotypes and people that get pulled over that are African-American seem to have a harder time than people who are white that get pulled over.
Right. Especially if they happen to be illegally gun carrying African-American.
Because
then it makes your stakes so much higher for them.
Yeah. And so he's going against that, and they're saying that he's disrespecting the country and the military and stuff like that. So let's say the government makes guns illegal, and now all those people that don't like Colin Kaepernick are fighting against their government and possibly military to maintain their gun rights. Now you're the one possibly killing American military people, or at least going against what your government says is the law to protect what you believe in. How is that any different? He is standing up for what he believes in. You are standing up for what you believe in. And the people that are saying he hasn't sacrificed anything, I understand there's a little difference between the fucking heroic men and women that sacrifice their life in the military, but sacrificing a football career is kind of the same thing. I almost wish they actually talked about it in our Heartland. I almost wish he was like a really good football player.
Yeah.
Because like if he was like an all-star, like if this were Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers were black, I bet he wouldn't have to deal with this. Like if you were that fucking good.
Yeah.
It would all go away.
Probably. Like if Cam Newton did it.
Yeah. Like you think Carolina's not going to sign Cam Newton or some team.
Yeah. He's going to play.
He's going to play. It's just that. And I still think Colin Kaepernick probably could have scored a touchdown against the Ravens tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that game.
Yep.
There's plenty of teams that I feel like he is better than the quarterbacks that they have starting.
Bet you would have done better than Deshaun fucking Watson today.
Debatable. But I think that he is good enough to have a job in the NFL. The fact that he doesn't, he could have just said, okay, sorry, I won't do it anymore. And then ate himself up on the inside because he felt like he wasn't doing what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And just became a sheep to the NFL, but he didn't. And so that's a sacrifice.
Yep.
I sacrifice sleep because I like playing video games. People make daily sacrifices.
No matter how big or small, it's still
it doesn't matter how big or small it is. It's not one of those things that's like, you didn't die for your country, so you're not allowed to say that you haven't sacrificed anything. Motherfucker, lots of people sacrifice lots of shit.
Yeah.
So that's my take on that.
I like that take.
All right. That one got a little deep, too. After our Wow Stories of the Week, we like to jump in to talk about what we would do if we were president.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, Austin, if you were president of these United States of America, what would you do if you were president?
I would get rid of police quotas all across the board. I know most departments claim that they don't have quotas, but we all know at the end of the month, cops are out more frequently, and they're after you for speeding, for any little thing you do. You don't use your blinker on a simple turn that you're not thinking about, a turn you take every single day, and boom, you get hit, and you get a ticket. Well, goddamn, doesn't that suck? I think that getting rid of quotas for police would actually help make driving safer. Because when the end of the month comes, you know, like your family members always tell you, be safer driving. It's in your mind now that there are more cops. You are now nervous. You are more cautious. That doesn't always mean good. Being cautious and nervous doesn't always mean good. It's not that you're more aware driving. It's that you're more worried driving. Yeah. And I think it makes accidents more, like, happen more frequently. Because the more you're checking over your shoulder and looking over whatever you're doing, you're not paying attention to the road. You're thinking about the police that are potentially going to pull you over. Everybody knows the feeling when a cop pulls behind you and follows you for a little bit. You're 10-2, hope I'm not doing anything wrong. But if you notice, you're probably slowing down too slow, or you're driving funny, or you're not switching your gears just right.
Or you're spending all your time checking all your mirrors and you're swaying a little bit.
Yeah, you're too busy focusing behind you and you're too nervous to pay attention to your common everyday task of driving. So I think getting rid of quotas across the board, keeping like a regular scheduled police patrol that happens every other day instead of just hammering down at the end of the month that they always do, I think it'll make driving safer.
Nice. If I were president, I would push to end the party system.
Ooh.
So we would have
no more parties?
Yeah, no more Republicans, no more Democrats, no more liberals, no more conservatives.
Oh, those kind of parties.
Those kind of parties. Real parties. We all like to party.
Yeah, we're going
to
party hard.
We would do more of that partying without those other parties.
Yeah.
And so people would literally just run as themselves as a person. It would just be like stat lines. Be like, this is Austin Robinson. He fucking is for this, is against this. And this is why you should fucking elect him. And then people would be like, okay, cool. It wouldn't be like, he's Republican, so he's for this, for that, for this, for this, against that, because that's what a Republican's supposed to do. That's fucking stupid. Like, everybody could be vastly different.
Yeah.
And how they...
You're taking people out of boxes.
Yeah. And so I feel like people would literally just run as themselves at a person. You know, tell me what you're going to do. Let's stop wasting time on the personal beliefs that have nothing to do with running a country or running any other form of office. You know, I still a firm believer, like when they go up there, your opinion on abortion doesn't fucking matter. Your opinion on gay rights and shit doesn't fucking matter. I guess the opinion on firearms kind of matters because it affects the country as a whole. But it shouldn't really be. I want to know, what are you going to do to help the economy? What are you going to do to maintain how the taxes work? What are you going to do to make sure we don't piss off another country and cause a big fucking war? And what are you going to do to deal with other countries that are doing bullshit that pisses us the fuck off?
Right. And like what you were saying, though, saying that, like, you don't care if they're how they feel about the gays or how they feel about, like, weed legalization or guns. I think those are all major things that, like, do matter when they go up there. Because, like, gay marriage is legal now. Yeah. They went up there and like, yeah, I don't like the gays, though, so I'm going to go ahead and cancel that. But I am going to help the economy, too.
But I don't think I don't think literally whether or not a marital status has any effect on the country.
It has an effect to the people that can no longer get married. You're now taking away people's
happiness. No, he can't take it away. He can't fucking touch that because that has nothing to do with shit. Like,
So you're saying that everything should be, do what the fuck you want in this country, as long the president should only be focused on economy, job shit, and stuff to help
economy
us.
Of the country, protection of the country, and I guess, I don't know, advancement. I really don't think at this point we need to be conquering much more of the world.
Right.
Maybe if we focus more on just increasing our money and increasing our safety, and then focused more on advancing as far as knowledge, you know, and maybe we could work with other countries. Let's fucking think space.
Right.
I mean, people are talking, goofing on the Space Force and shit, but I mean, how much longer do we have here? Yellowstone could erupt at any point and fucking wipe out half the country. Meteor could come at any point and wipe out the whole fucking world. Sounds like all these other countries, Russia and China and fucking Korea, are going to bring back dinosaur and all these other extinct animals. They may fuck us all up. Maybe we should find some other places that might not be too bad.
Yeah, and I can follow that.
You know, even if obviously I doubt they're going to drag me along anywhere like that. Right. But, you know, let's just think about checking some other places out.
Yeah, and I agree with you on those fronts, but I do also believe there's a lot of other bills and things that do have to get, like, ran by the president.
And I understand that, but a lot of them, I feel like, a lot of the shit that goes into it, I feel like, is budgeting. Yeah. And then a lot of people are pushing for, like, gun control based on the safety, but that's why we should look at some safety things. I'm not saying that there can't be some sort of gun... You and I have talked about this before.
I think there should be a higher regulation.
I think it should be harder for just anybody to get a weapon. However, once I have proved that I'm a sane person and a legal abiding American, I shouldn't be limited on where I can take my gun to protect myself and other people.
Yeah, we are both carry people. We both carry pistols on us. We both have assault rifles, and we both have home defense weapons.
Multiple.
We both have went into stores and bought these weapons ourselves. Which I will say, when I went and bought my assault rifle, I could not believe how easy it was.
I thought it was crazy even with my handgun. And a lot of people talk about assault rifles. A lot of crimes, most crimes happen just with a handgun.
Yeah, handguns, that's why you got to be 21 to get a handgun and only 18 to get a rifle.
And I went to a gun show and I went in. He did ask for my driver's license. I provided the driver's license. He looked at it, made sure I was 21. And he just asked me, are you a legal U.S. citizen? Yeah. Have you ever committed a felony? No. Do you reside in the state in what your driver's license says? Yes. Okay, here you go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's keep it moving. $700. See you later.
Yeah. And that what I did with the assault rifle, I went in and I went, that's the one I want. I want this sight. I want to put it on here. He went, all right. We put it all on. I was like, I'm going to buy 200 rounds of ammo. He went, all right. He actually carried the gun. I carried the ammo up to the register, bought it. He walked me out of the store and handed me the box. And I went, there you go.
All right.
I literally could have just sat down, loaded that thing up, and walked right back into the store.
And mowed him down. But also, everybody you see in that gun store are all packing too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there's a chance you wouldn't have made it out of there.
No, absolutely. But what I'm getting at is like how wild... easy that is.
Yeah.
I personally believe I should not have been able to do that. I think it should be a little bit stricter, and I think it should be like they used to do. They did a time period where you would buy a gun and you had to wait like 4 days and then you could get it picked up or it would be mailed to you. I think something like that needs to come back.
Yeah, the waiting period isn't a bad idea. But also you have situations, you look at the Jacksonville shooter that happened not long ago.
Yeah.
At a Madden tournament, a gaming tournament. Hits a little closer to home for someone like me that's been to these tournaments.
Yeah, I've been to Madden tournaments.
So. You have a lot of these situations where the people that are committing these crimes aren't the people that are going out and buying guns even the current legal way. They're snatching them from their parents. They're buying them off random people on the street selling the weapons. It's even making the process to legally buy a gun harder.
People are still going to find a way to get them.
People are going to still steal these guns and shit. And honestly, people want to blame our generation for like being the way we are. I mean, why weren't there more? You and I grew up in a home where I could have told you where 10 handguns were laying around, fully loaded, cocked, and ready to go.
Yeah, I knew where they were.
I also knew that I would get the living fuck kicked out of me if I ever touched one of those guns, talked about one of those guns. Yep. Probably he would know if I even thought about one of those guns, if it were anything other than saving my or somebody else's life in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like nowadays you see all these other kids and I'm like, you know, you've had girlfriends. Luckily, my girlfriend understands that her parents were kind of the same as ours. You know, he obviously didn't train his daughter the same way as our dad taught two boys.
Right.
But I feel like I see people that are like, why are you so paranoid? Why do you always think that you could be killed somewhere and blah, blah, blah? And I'm like,
'cause it happens.
Why didn't your parents teach you to stay alive? Look at the way the world is right now. Currently, Missouri is one of the top states for fucking sex trafficking.
And we're the highest crime-rated city in the United States.
Yeah. I'm like, I understand that I don't live my life thinking everybody around the corner is waiting to kill me, but I like to be prepared in case one is.
No, a majority of the time, when I carry my gun, I don't even think about it. Yeah. I have it on me. It's just there. Because I don't think when I walk into the store,
it's like putting my shoes on.
I'm going to get robbed.
Yeah, it's like putting my shoes on.
But if I do get robbed, I got it. I would rather have it and not need it than not have it and need it.
Yeah, it's just like my medical insurance or my car insurance. I don't go out every day being afraid that I'm going to get in a car accident. But if I do, I'm pretty fucking glad I have insurance.
Yeah.
I don't assume I'm going to fucking cut my fingers off every day when I go to work. But guess what? It's happened. And I'm pretty glad I had insurance to pay for it.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things, like you said, I hope when I die, my guns are my worst investment ever.
Yeah. I hope all of it was money.
I spent all that money on bullets and guns and never even fucking used them.
Yeah.
That's what I hope. But if the situation ever came, never know. If this world goes to shit, if this world gets hit with a fucking meteor,
not even goes to shit,
a fucking bomb goes off and I literally have to fight for my life, I'm not going to be fucking taking shit from people. I'm going to defend myself and fucking survive and thrive. I won't be a fucking
pleb.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if the world goes to shit, and like I said, I don't wake up every day thinking the world's going to go into a fucking nuclear post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, we're not the doomsday bunker people.
Yeah, I'm not prepping. I don't have a bunker, but I want to have some weapons so I can survive, hunt, defend myself, and maybe some other people that may band together with me.
Yep.
It's not a bad idea.
And you're going worst case, but like even like just a pistol.
Yeah.
Like I'm at your house right now. I have a pistol on me.
Yeah.
Because
I got three of them in here.
If somebody kicked in the door, we're in a room right now. If somebody kicked in the door and ran into your house right now, your girlfriend's out there. She's unarmed. We would now have to do something.
Yeah, we would have to react. We can't just sit in here and wait for them to kill my dogs and girlfriend and hope they don't find us.
Yeah, we would have to do something.
Yeah.
And if you're armed, you now have
the ability to do something.
Yeah, you can do that. When I lived here, we talked about it. We had a setup specifically in case there was a break-in.
Yeah, because the way that our rooms are, where I come out of my room, where Austin comes out of his room, we're working down the hall at each other. So we wanted to make sure that in the event of an intruder, we didn't fucking shoot each other. So the basic plan was, if you hear them go by your door, you don't leave your room until you hear a shot.
Yeah, until I hear a shotgun or anything like that, then I will know. And we would obviously be communicating as well. But I would not leave my room until something came in front of my door. And if it was Gavin, I can hold my fire because I'm trained with weapons. And if it's a burglar, I'm going to shoot the fucking guy.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want Austin walking into the hallway because my first thing would be, I have a tactical shotgun that has a strobe light on it and a laser. So basically, if it's dark, I can check and see what's going on. It would blind the person in front of me if they were walking in a dark room. And I would be able to fire a shot down the hallway, pretty much killing anything in its path.
So I would not want to be
out. Austin would not want to be in the crossfire. And so it would be one of those things that until Austin hears me tell him that it's clear or somebody comes directly into his room, he's not going to exit his room.
Yeah.
And so it's just one of those things. But having a plan or a basic
just an idea
of survival isn't a bad thing. The fear of guns is something that I feel like has put such a bad stigma on it because people, we lack gun training.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would solve a lot of those things. So a lot of deep conversations coming out of some of these topics. The next one we're going to jump into is our conspiracy theory.
So, Gavin, with all this weird shit that happens in this world, what kind of conspiracy theory do you have for us this week?
All right, so we touched on Mac Miller's death in your WoW story.
Yeah.
Mine kind of plays on that.
Really?
I think Bill Clinton had something to do with Mac Miller's overdose. Maybe hit up his supplier, gave him a little stronger stuff than he was used to. One way or another. Mac Miller was somehow killed by Bill Clinton so that Ariana Grande would perform at another funeral and Bill Clinton could check her out again. Because we've all seen the video.
That we have.
Of Ariana Grande performing, and Bill Clinton's pretty into it. Not so much the song, just Ariana herself. You could see the look.
Yeah.
And
he probably wishes he was that preacher.
Yeah. And Clinton loves him some good looking young women. And the Clintons kind of have a reputation of killing people.
Yeah.
And so I think this is just another tally on the body count.
Let me go ahead and add this to the conspiracy theory. Do you think that Mac Miller's drug dealer was Michael Jackson's doctor?
Ooh. I don't know.
You know, over prescribing them.
Mm. And then that doctor somehow has links to the Clinton team. So yeah. The Clintons killed Michael Jackson.
Yep. So the Clintons killed Michael Jackson.
Just like they killed Chester Bennington and that other guy because apparently they were going to expose a pedophilia ring.
Yep.
Clintons tied to all of it. Pretty much any celebrity death is probably done by the Clintons.
Yeah.
So if you're famous.
What was that thing you just told me about, Kevin Bacon?
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Maybe there's a 6 degrees of the Bill Clinton or of the or Clintons. The Clintons. So like everyone every who died
in 6 steps or less can be tied to the Clinton organization. Yeah. So if we wind up dead after talking about this, you guys kind of, just put the pieces together, poke hole in the theory. I don't think you can. What's yours?
My theory, Gavin, it's a little bit, you got to think.
I'm ready.
Okay. So what if we're actually dead?
I'm already confused.
All right. Let me break it down a little bit slower. What if we're already dead? And that your life that you're living currently is the 7 seconds that your brain replays your life. You know, like how you have your life flash before your eyes?
Yeah.
And that's why you get confused on decisions. Because it's a decision that you know is wrong, but you still choose it because that's what you did in your life, even though you realized later that it was wrong. So like today, I chose Deshaun Watson to start in my fantasy league, but I was debating with him and Matt Stafford, and Matt Stafford's facing the Jets. So that's a pretty favorable guy to start.
I kind of told you to start Matt Stafford. And
I was really thinking I should start Matthew Stafford. I really should. He's got the right stuff, but for some reason I was like, I'm starting Deshaun Watson. And even against my own thought of saying I'd rather have Stafford, I still started Deshaun Watson. Maybe I'm dead and I know that Matthew Stafford is actually going to have a good game, but in my life, I chose Deshaun Watson. And since that's what happened, I had to choose that decision. So, even though I knew it was wrong.
So it's a replay of your life. You've already experienced the disappointment of like, fuck, I should have started Matt Stafford after watching this game. So in your head now, you're saying, I feel like I should be starting Matt Stafford, but I'm going to go ahead and start Deshaun.
Yeah.
Because that's what you did. So it's literally just a replay. But right now you're like, wait a minute. I feel like I should start him. Like something's telling me to start him. But I feel also compelled that I should still start Deshaun Watson.
Yes. And that can go with like a lot of decisions in your life. Yeah. Like if you're drinking milk that morning or orange juice, like you're like, man, I really want some orange juice. But milk sounds really fucking good. I'm going to have orange juice.
Or one of those things too, even like driving home, sometimes you'll see traffic starting to back up. You'll be like, should I take this exit and take kind of the long way around because traffic might stop? I'll see. And I stay on it. And you're like, motherfucker, why did I not exit like literally 20 feet ago? Now I can't
when
like
I
go
back.
When
I knew that was probably the best option, but I still didn't do it.
Oh, kind of like deja vu, but post death.
Yeah.
So
vuja deja.
So how do we realize the 7 seconds that flashes before our eyes in real time is 7 seconds, but you basically, we are the consciousness replaying out the life again.
Yes.
Wild.
Wild. Also, that's a theory. I took a theory and then spun it in my own way.
So rest in peace to literally everyone that are currently living out their lives, but are actually already dead.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, you're dead.
You are currently in a coma, and we are trying a new experiment to reach out to you. So if you are hearing this message, please wake up.
We need you to wake up. Your family's waiting for you.
It's been 40 years, and we really need you to wake up.
Right, like right now.
Wake up. The next segment we're going to be jumping into is shower thoughts. These is a little subreddit that we found on Reddit. And it's just cool little things that people write that they think about in the shower. And I was just going to read a few, and we're going to talk about what we think about them.
All right.
You like that?
I do like that.
All right. We think in our native language, then most dogs would probably just be thinking in barks.
Whoa.
So, like, we think about, do our dogs actually, like, have feelings for us and think about us, but do you think in their head it's just barks? Or do you think barks actually have translation?
No, I think that they actually think mainly in actions. I don't think they think words. I think they think in actions. However, I bet you they think about the words we say, because they do learn actions from words.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever I tell Cambria to get in her crate, I say, crate up. So she knows crate up. I bet you there's plenty of times when I come into the room, she'll be like, crate up? Like, am I going to my crate right now?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, he's just coming out here.
So
they
probably do primarily think in barks. And I don't even think they think in barks. I think they just think about their surroundings, because most of the time they're just walking around.
Right.
And taking things in visually. And scent is the strongest sense tied to memory. So I'm sure a lot of smells remind them of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of times you see their emotion by the things you say. So although their native language is bark, none of their barks really translate to actions, but the things that you say do. So I feel like that probably has a hole in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a shower thought for you.
All right.
Do you realize that when you get in the shower, you're just making it rain inside your house?
I think that's, I mean, no.
Yeah, but you're just making it rain.
Yeah, you're just turning on water.
Yeah, but you could just fill up a tub, but you're choosing to go in front of speckling water.
Yeah, just because it's more convenient.
Yeah, you're making...
I feel it's cleaner than sitting in a pool of my own filth.
No, and I agree with you. It's more cleanliness, but really, like, think about it. You're just making it rain in your house in a specific room.
Okay.
I just thought that's kind of weird. I just thought that it was is, a thing.
It's literally a shower thought.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I would think about. Like, I've thought about stuff like that in my shower.
Here's another one. At a certain point in your life, sitting at home alone watching TV on a Friday night goes from being super depressing to the most enjoyable part of your week.
I've never had that be depressing.
A lot of people do find it depressing, though, because they feel like they'd rather be out doing things. Or, like, when you're younger and you're, like, waiting for somebody to hit you up and do something, and you end up just staying at home all day watching TV.
What are you saying? I don't have friends?
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you've never felt sad about, but you don't want friends.
I mean, I do, but I'm also totally fine with doing nothing.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people are just depressed because they need other people to make them happy. But that's another thing, too, I realized, like, sitting at home, I didn't just sit there and watch a lot of TV. I played video games, and people say, why don't you go out and be social? Be like, motherfucker, I talk to more people on a Friday night playing video games than you do all week.
Yeah, and we call each other motherfuckers and pussies, and we shit on each other, and you know what happens?
We talk about fucking each other's moms.
We say, good game afterwards.
Later, bro. Sometimes you make friends. We got a friend, Keith, from Chicago that we met playing.
Yeah, we actually brought him down and played with him in person from then.
Let's see. Commuters probably get stuck in traffic with roughly the same people every day, just in a different order.
Holy shit.
So you're around, like, the same people in traffic every day. And I read this one, and it makes me, I'm really, like, next time I'm kind of in traffic after I'm working at the same job for a while, I'm going to pay attention to the cars around me and see if I, like, start to recognize them.
Yeah, but you got to think of, like, how many people are doing it at the same time. Like, if somebody gets off 2 minutes before you do, they're going to be in a completely different spot.
Not necessarily. It's just, well, yeah, but it's just, it, like I said, you're stuck in traffic just in roughly a different order.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. For you to notice someone, that's going to take a while.
Yeah, because it could be literally like a quarter mile span, and right, you're not going to see people up there. But maybe you will. Maybe you guys just happen to get off at very close to the same time every time.
Right. And I mean, it's different when it's like a noticeable car. Like, I've definitely noticed, like, certain people, like my Mustang. There's a dude who has one that looks just like mine, and I've seen him on the road before multiple times. And I'm like, oh, there's that fucking guy. But if somebody drove by in a white Chevy Cruze, I would never realize who that is.
They would have a distinguishing mark about it.
Yeah.
You don't realize how fast your parents saw you growing up until you see another child growing. And I notice that a lot too when I see some of the girls that I went to school with or friends that I know, and I see their kids now, and they're like about to be in high school. And it feels like the time that it took from them being a baby to being in high school has been a lot less time, like, since I've been out of school.
I can explain that to you.
All right, let's hear it.
So there's actually a name for this theory, but I can't think what it is. It's not a conspiracy theory. They claim it's an actual true theory. So say when you're 5 years old.
Yep.
You have lived 5 years.
Yep.
That is your entire life so far.
Word.
So each year has been 20% of your life.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going.
But when
with
you're
this.
10 years old, now each year has only been 10% of your life. Now when you're 20 years old, each year has only been 5% of your life. So the older you get, the less valuable a year becomes. So when you get older, between like 20 and 28 for you, that's 8 years. That seems like a lot, but it's really not. But to that child who's 0 to 8, for you, those 8 years are like 12 to 4% of your life. To them, it's 100% of their life.
That's a really good comparison. Like, I understand it.
Yeah, so like the older you are, the less percentage years mean to you.
That was like a woke moment.
Yeah. I'm surprised you never heard that one before.
No, but I liked it. Wouldn't it be cool if you could dream with other people, like multiplayer dreaming?
Also a thing that can be done.
Yes, and I've heard of it being able to be done, but it would be cool if basically like there's actual things like lucid dreams where you can control your dream.
I've never had one.
It would be cool. I've had moments in my dream where I realize I'm dreaming and start controlling some of the things, but then barely shortly after I wake up.
See, I wake up every time. I've had multiple times where I'm like, oh, I'm in a dream right now. And then I wake up. I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, how do people have them?
Yeah. Or I have it a lot of times. It's when I'm having a bad dream, not a nightmare, but it actually recently happened to me not long ago. I had this weird dream that we were driving the Jeep. It was me and somebody. And it like stalled out and we were like trying to pull it and what we were pulling it with snapped and it rolled down a hill and like crashed into somebody's house.
Oh my God.
And I was literally just like, motherfucker, I just totaled a car. I have a few past wrecks on my record. I cannot afford this. My insurance is fucked. My car's fucked.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then I literally started thinking about it. I was like, what the fuck were we just doing that caused that? And then I'm like, this makes no sense. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't just fuck up my car.
Have you ever dreamt of the day you're going to have and then it like ruins your day? Like when you wake up, like you dream about being at work all day and then you wake up and oh, fuck, I gotta go to work.
Or one thing that used to happen to me all the time is when I was playing Halo and going to tournaments, I'd get home and play Halo all night, then go to sleep watching Halo streams so I could, like, pick up some strategies to improve. Yeah. And then I would wake up and feel fucking exhausted because I literally dreamt Halo games all night. And, like, you play...
Oh, like you never went to sleep, like you just kept watching Halo
games. I literally
Halo
dreamt... me playing Halo games all night, like Halo games playing out through the perspective of your character and playing games all night, because I've played so many games of Halo at that point that your dream can create so many different scenarios because it's seen so many that it could literally create random games and everything that would happen in it. And I would literally just dream game after game after game after game. I remember looking at the score and the time and picking up power weapons and calling shit out. And it would literally, I would watch a stream, fall asleep, have that going on in my head. The stream's still on, so I'm probably hearing the shit that they're saying and playing it out in my head during a dream. And then I would wake up and I'd be like, oh, I felt like my mind's still going all night long. And then I would wake up and still be fucking exhausted.
So does your biological clock work to where sometimes it can like aim dreams to end at certain times? Have you ever had that happen?
I don't know about aiming dreams, but I've had it where it will incorporate my alarm into the dream.
But that's what I'm saying. It leads to a part for that.
Yeah.
See, I've had that happen. That's what happens to me most, is I will have a dream. And
in the dream, there'll be like a bomb or something that's supposed to go off. And then I'm like fucking with it and it leads to it going off. And I wake up and it's my alarm going off.
Yeah, mine's never like a bomb. Mine's normally something subtle. And then I realize it's my alarm. Like I have two that I remember very vividly. One of them was I was at a Coheed and Cambria concert.
Nice.
And they were singing Welcome Home, and the guitar thing happened, and then whenever it got to the big breakdown, instead of it going, dun, 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 bah, it went, bum, 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 bum. And I was like, what are they doing? And then I realized it was my alarm and I woke up and I was like, whoa, that was crazy. It like lined up perfect. And then another one I had, this one was actually more recent. That one happened when I was in high school. It was so prevalent that I still remember that dream. The more recent one I had was I was like shopping or something and I went into an elevator. And now I have a much softer alarm, and it's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, or whatever.
Yeah.
I was in an elevator, and it was the elevator music.
Nice.
And I was like, this is my alarm. And then I woke up. I was like, holy shit, it literally just put it in there. Literally made it make sense.
I like it. They say that there's always plenty of fish in the sea, but there's also plenty of trash. That's a deep one.
That is a deep one.
So don't worry about all the trash that you're finding, because eventually you might find a fish, I guess.
Teach a man to fish, feed him forever.
But teach a man how to take out the trash.
He's putting
probably more... just going to throw it in the ocean.
Yeah.
If you say count from 1 to 3, you're doing just that.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
I got one kind of like that.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you say the word poop... your lips make the movements that your asshole makes when you poop.
That's a good one. I've heard that humans want peace so bad that we will fight each other for it.
That want what?
Humans want peace so badly that we will fight each other for it.
Huh.
It's kind of deep. Think about it.
That's a deep one.
At 99.99 continuing empty space in the universe, the name space is very justifiable.
What does that mean?
Like space, the universes and all the galaxies and the amount of just empty space there is.
Yeah.
Out of all the planets and stars and meteors and stuff, it doesn't even take up like 1/1,000,000,000th of a point of a percent of how much space there is. So by calling it space, yeah, it's just literally a bunch of space because all the shit that's in it doesn't even account up for 1% of the total space. Of
what actual space is. Yeah, that's a lot.
The percent of charge on your phone is an often indication of how productive your day has been that day.
So if it's higher, are you more productive? And it's lower, you're less productive?
Yeah.
But what if you're like a blogger and a podcaster and you need to do research from your phone? So is it the opposite?
Yeah, but you could have it plugged in if you were doing that if you're at your computer. But like at work, like you and me, if we come home and our phone's at like 12%, we've been fucking off on our phone a lot that day.
Yeah, I guess
that's
true.
But if we come home and it's like 98%, it's like, fuck. I didn't touch my phone all goddamn day.
Yeah,
that was pretty good goddamn day. Or I just didn't have service. A circle on a screen can never be a true circle because it's made of pixels.
Oh, and pixels are square?
Yeah. We go to other people's jobs on our days off.
That's kind of shitty of us.
Yeah. Like, we just, I'm doing nothing and you're working.
Yeah. You ever think about that, like, at, like, vacation resorts? Like,
yeah,
you go to
people.
A resort and you're like, I'm here to do nothing and be pampered. And they're like, yeah, well, I'm making minimum wage and I hate my life. You ever think about that?
Yeah.
Like, no, I thought about that in LA.
There's times I go to places
LA.
Like this and I'm like, man, it feels bad that you just got to watch other people enjoying themselves all the time.
Like Six Flags workers?
Yeah.
Just put your arms down. Lock this seat in. Woo!
Wish I had nothing better to do than this.
Yeah.
This is a pretty good and sad one. Getting a dog is like getting a happiness loan that you have to pay back in 10 years with sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would go with most pets, though, not just dogs.
Yeah, just any pet in general is kind of like a loan on happiness.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do one more. This was a nice long list, so we'll have some probably for the next episode. I'm going to go ahead and say, this one says, being a YouTuber is this generation's version of being in a band. And it kind of is.
I would say no, because people are still being in bands.
Yeah, but back in the day, probably a lot more people tried to be in bands because music and radio was more of an outlet, but now that social media has taken over a lot more, video killed the radio star.
Wow. That was a good
plug there, Presidents of the United States.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up our shower thoughts for this week. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up with our beer review. This one is right at about 1 hour and 40 minutes. We want to kind of keep it between the hour and a half and 2 hour mark. We don't want them to be too long for you guys, but we definitely want to fill things up a little more. They're obviously going to be longer now that we got some sports to talk about, but we don't want to bore you guys to death either. And we don't want to use all of our shit in one podcast because then we won't have other shit to talk about.
Right.
Because we're not that smart.
No.
But we do like a good beer, and that's why we like to review them for you. So let's get started.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, at the corner of Highway K and Highway N, right behind AutoZone. Text Barrels, B-A-R-R-E-L-S, to 72727 for your choice at toasted raviolis, pickled spears, or buffalo ravioli. You'll also get signed up for all kinds of things like birthday coupons. And if you check out their location now, they have a little kiosk in there where you can sign up for a free lunch. Just leave your telephone number and email, and you'll get a free lunch. Austin, what do you think of this week's beer?
Well, this beer is another one by Main Street 4204 Brewing Company. Now, I'm not being biased when I pick my beers, guys. I literally walk into the store, and I go, which one of these have I not had? And I find the can that I think looks the coolest.
And this can does look pretty damn cool.
This can is fucking cool looking. It is the Answer 42.
So, if you've ever seen Hitchhiker's Guide or read the book, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
the answer is 42. It's
supposed to be the answer to life.
Yep. The Answer to Everything is the full name of the beer. It's a 4.8 alcohol percentage. The can is really dark. It's like a black can that fades to purple down to white to a man who has his arms spread, looking up at the name of the beer on the label.
It's like a neon-lit sign.
Yeah, it's like a neon-lit sign. It's a really interesting-looking can.
On the side of the main logo, it says, "The Answer. Having a bad day? Life not going your way? Don't panic! This seasonal ale is the answer to everything. Forget the towel. Just grab the answer, then discover the mysteries of the universe."
So it even gives you a little bit of a fucking prep talk before you start drinking it.
Yeah, and so it's pretty good. What's the alcohol percentage on this one?
4.8. I said that a second ago. If you were listening to me, I guess everything I say doesn't matter to you.
It really doesn't. I was just trying to check out cool shit for me to talk about.
All right. Well, this company is in Belleville, Illinois. We've done two of their beers.
Three.
So this is our fourth one? If we've done three, this is four?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot.
It's the third or the fourth.
Third or the fourth. I think I'm going to have to start passing on these guys just to get a little bit more variety in here.
Yeah, but this one is pretty good. What would you say the taste is like?
The taste, you know, it's like a... It's definitely coming into fall taste.
Yeah.
It's definitely a fall-tasting ale. It's not as heavy as I thought it was going to be.
No, not really.
It's a little bit lighter. It's a good-tasting one. I could have quite a few of these.
It almost tastes to me like a light wheat beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what I would kind of consider it. I could easily drink a few of these. It's not going to fill you up. Mm-hmm. It has that weedy taste to it. Kind of gives you that fall vibe.
You know what I think this would be really good with?
What?
Some, like, hot wings. I think a hot sauce with this, they would balance really well.
Yeah, it would kind of just kill that spiciness and allow you to just keep on going.
Yeah, I think this
good
would
football
be...
beer.
Yeah, good football beer. Fall. Yeah.
Gives you that fall feeling. Let you eat kind of those spicier foods while you're enjoying the game at the bar. I'm going to give this one a 5.8.
Ooh, a 5.8. That's not bad. I'm going to go ahead and give this one, I'm going to give it a 6.2.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, pretty good reviews for him.
Yeah.
No, and to be honest, so far, this Main Street 4204 Brewing Company, it's had pretty good numbers.
Yeah, I'm not that disappointed in the beers that I've had from them.
No, they definitely make a good brew.
All right, so be sure and check out The Answer by Main Street 4204 Brewing Company out of Belleville, Illinois. We hope you guys have an amazing week. We will be back next weekend with another episode of football, random bullshit, and we hope you laugh and cry with us. See ya.
Yeet!
Inside the pocket of a clown.
Yeah. smiles turn into frowns.